Good morning, everybody. Hello. Hey, good morning. Thank you. Wow, responsive. So here we go. We're in a series called Moments. My name is Ryan Gard. This will be the shortest sermon in 15 years I've ever given. So that's good news for some of y'all, bad news for my favorites. And so we're going to be in Deuteronomy 6, if you have your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put them up on this screen for you. That's very Vanna of me. I'll put them right there for you if you didn't bring a Bible. It's okay. You can have a Bible. You can take one off the rack in the back or go to Lost and Found, get a really good one. Just act like it's yours. This whole series has been about these moments. We're talking about family and all these moments, the power of these moments that we experience in our families every day, every week, whatever it may be. Today, disclaimer, I'm talking to parents. You're smart enough, if you're not a parent, to grab what applies elsewhere, but I am going to focus in what is probably the most practical sermon I've ever given prepared on moms and dads in the room. Specifically, I'm thinking about those of you that have got like a fourth grader through a high school student or a college student acting like a high school student. All right, some of y'all know what I'm talking about when I say that. And you have issues. We know about them, and we have them too, and we all want what's best for our kids. Like, none of us walked out of the hospital with the baby, looked at it, and said, I just can't wait to mess up your life. You didn't want that. We all want what's best for our kids. And so today, I'm going to do my best in a pretty different sermon time talk that I've ever given. It's going to be fun, though. Here we go. So Deuteronomy 6, I have to say this before we get going. If you're a parent, you're going to disagree with what I say in a second, but it's true. I'm right. And I have a microphone on, so I have to be right, right? You know, did you know, that if you're a parent, you are the primary spiritual influence in your kid's life? There's an argument happening right here, right? Here, there's like, no. Some of you are thinking it's their friends, like look what the friends have done to them. Some of you think maybe it's the teachers that they're with all day or the coach that they're with after school or maybe the youth pastor. Maybe it's Johnny, our high school pastor, or Shane, or junior high pastor, or maybe Mike Ralph. That has the most influence, but no. And I'm going to spare you the research that I have dozens of books on my shelf. You can come on in and read them if you want, but every single time that teenagers are asked, when you get a sample size of them, and you ask them, who is it that has the most influence in your life when it comes to matters of faith? It's always, always mom and dad. Teachers, coaches, friends, they're on the list as well. They're important, but they're not as important as mom and dad. They're not as important despite what they say, but despite their nonverbals. Mom. Despite what their attitude, despite all the front, the fake, the posing that they're so good at. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years with teenagers. You can't give me a nonverbal I haven't seen before. But all I know is they truly do. They need you, and they actually want you to speak into their life. That's what most, you may be the exception, I doubt it. Because I think there's a handful of reasons why. You're the primary spiritual influence in their life, probably for the most part, and one of the biggest parts is because you are with them the most. So even if you feel like I don't have a shot here, it's not working for us, you are with them way more than anybody else is. In fact, a little illustration, just in case you haven't seen this before, we have a couple of things in our office that I look at every day. This right here, my friends, is 3,000 jelly beans. 3,000 jelly, anybody want one? No, you don't, because these jelly beans have been in the office since 2009. And we have 3,000 of these sitting on a shelf. And this represents the amount of hours that you, as the parent, will have with your kid in a given year on average. Not sleeping, not headphones in. Like, this is the amount of hours that the average mom and dad have with their kid, in whether it's in the car, in the house, together for 365 days. You have about, on average, and you may be up, you may be down, you may be 1,000 if they're involved, maybe 5,000 if they just won't leave the house, but you have about this many hours on average, this many days represented here, this many hours. This is a lot. You know what we have in the church? About 40. On average, you may be up above, you know, maybe 150 if your kid's here for everything. Maybe once in a while, maybe every other week, so it's a little bit less. But on average, the church, Shane, Johnny, Mike, children's ministry, we've got usually about 40. Not too much. So who wins when it comes to who has the most opportunity to shape and mold worldviews, to instill values, to teach? Who is it? It's obviously mom and dad. Thank you, front row. It's mom and dad. Oh, yeah, it was rhetorical. Some of you are thinking, I didn't need to answer it. It was obvious. I'm not knocking you. Despite what they say and despite how they behave, you not only have the most time, you have the most opportunity with them. And these moments, though, once they're gone, like they're gone. There are no rollover moments. You don't have redos in this, but you have grace in this, and you have second chances in this. We're going to go to Deuteronomy 6 in just a second. I need to set a little bit of tension, though, because here's what the reality is. The reality is, in another research project that I saw unfold a couple of years ago, they asked 11,000 teenagers, 11,000 specifically high school students. They asked 11,000 of them in 561 different churches. 11,000 teenagers responded to the question, how often do you engage in spiritual conversations with your mom or your dad? 11,000 teenagers, when they were asked, about 12% of them said, we regularly have conversations with mom. 12% of teenagers, 11,000 when they were asked, about 1 in 8 said that they regularly have a conversation, any kind of conversation with mom when it comes to matters of faith and life and Jesus. And when we asked them about dad, it was 5%, like 1 in 20. That's how often these conversations are taking place. And that's just tension for me. That breaks my heart a bit. And I think it's for a lot of reasons. Maybe you're scared to have the conversation. Maybe you're not sure what to say. Maybe you're intimidated. Can I have a disclaimer first? Because maybe you're here for the first time. You don't know me and you're like, this dude's gonna make me feel like a jerk and then we'll leave. He said it's a short sermon, so praise Jesus for that. But can we all just rally around this truth for just a second? This is hard. Parenting is hard. It's incredibly difficult. I mean, because you have this idea in your head of what things should look like and be like. You have this picture of the perfect family in your head. You don't have a picture of the perfect family in your head. You have a picture of the perfect family like on Instagram. Every time you open your phone, you scroll through and see how unbelievably glorious everyone else's lives are, and you're, you know, on the couch eating Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and your kids are burning stuff in the other room, and you're scrolling through, and you're like, oh, look at that. Look at my little boys. That's my boys, my Instagram feeds. Got my two boys, first day of school, arms around each other. So sweet, right? Double tap that. I'm gonna double tap my own photo. That's uncouth, but I just did. That's so sweet. You know what it is? It's a lie. It's a lie. You all are double tapping my lies all day long. Oh, look at that. They went on a date. They must go on dates all the time. First one in weeks. But I put it out there. I give you my highlight reel and you go, oh, we're not, this is so hard. It's so hard, especially when you start comparing. But today, I just want to give you real help for your real life. And could we just agree that Instagram isn't real? Say it with me. Instagram isn't real. Look at the person next to you. Be like, Instagram isn't real. There's like a grandma next to you. She's like, I don't think it is real. Right? I don't know if it is. She's on Facebook. All of them are. And they're all my friends. Stick to the notes. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 1 is where we're going to be in a moment. This is Moses. He's the leader of Israel. He's also a grandfather. About to drop some wisdom. He's saying, hey, before y'all get into the promised land, listen up. Here's some things you need to hear, need to know. 6:1, we're going to rush through the first part to get to the really practical piece here. It says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me, Moses, to teach you to observe, to follow in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess. Why? So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life, at the root of everything I'm about to say, is the pursuit of joy. Like God saying, hey, follow this, and your life will be characterized by joy more so than if you abandon this, ignore this, try these things on your own. Verse 2 said, this is for your children and for their kids and for their kids and for mission, 9 a.m. today. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey. That's a metaphor, otherwise gross. Just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. He's like, just listen up. You got to follow this. We're going to go to verse 4, and it's going to get super practical for you. But he did say this in verse 4. This is the starting point. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, look what he says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I mean, he started out talking to parents about the kids, but he's talking to them going, starts with you. Starts with you. No shame. Just a completely clear directive that if we're going to talk about parenting and how to lead them in their walk with the Lord, it's got to start with us. It starts with us. He's talking about generations and batons being passed and legacies being created, and this is so obvious, but you cannot pass a baton that you're not holding. And so Moses says, starts with you. You start this relationship with the Lord, and then you talk about your, with your kids. You can't talk about it, you ain't got it, right? So he's just gonna say, it's gonna start with us. It's a starting point for everything. He says in verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. There's four different things here. Did you see it? Moses just gave us four moments that I just want to unpack for a few minutes with you. He gave us four incredible moments that we can capitalize on, that we can leverage, that we can pay attention to, be attentive to, and then walk our kids in this knowledge and this beauty. But he's given us really, he didn't explain it too much in the moment, but I think if we think about it for just a second, we're gonna go, wait, this is like an average day and then the next day. So he starts out, what does he say? When you sit at home, let's just call this mealtime. How many of y'all, don't raise your hand, but how many of y'all just, you sit down for a meal with your kids every day at least once? It's rhetorical. I don't want to shame anybody. Is this incredibly difficult with how busy they are? There is value. There's certainly value in sitting around the table. You know this. There's so much value in just sitting down together and having a meal together. If it's mealtime, beautiful. If it's not mealtime, make a time. At some point, now listen, ideal, we're striving for ideal in this series. There's a real, you gotta find the real, I'm striving for the ideal. So I'm gonna say every single day, circle up with your family. And when Moses says, when you sit at home, what happens when everyone's sitting? And if he disagrees with me, he can end it. Shut the mic down, Lord, if you want to. But I think in this moment, what he's saying is there should be a moment when there's some teaching happening in the home. Look at all these moments. He's going, there should be some teaching happening when they sit together, when you sit at home. This is when you put on the hat, mom and dad, of teacher. Now you feel a little bit scared of that, and that's fine. That's absolutely okay. It can be a discussion, but you need to lead the discussion. It needs to be something you've prepared, something you've thought of, something that you've got a bit of knowledge about that you're about to impart and disciple your kids. And that's scary. And that's why the world is full of incredible resources. That's why at your fingertips on Monday morning, tomorrow, we're gonna put on our Facebook account all these resources that are just incredibly simple and powerful. Devotionals, and I didn't even know what that word meant. You ever heard that word? Did you do your devotional this morning? Mm-hmm. Like my first year of being a Christian, I just kept saying, yeah. I was like, what the heck is a devotional? Where do you get one of these things? It's just a little book that asks you some questions, includes some scripture. And what a powerful moment it is when you sit at home with your kids and you open it up and you read a verse and you ask some questions and you share some insights, some wisdom, and they sit and they listen and maybe they take notes and ask questions. And in this moment, if you're thinking, I've got to be a theologian, no. You got to just be a loving, caring parent. And maybe you start out, this is what we do. We circle up. My kids are a little bit younger, but we'll start out the conversation by just asking, okay, happies and crappies. Happies and crappies, let's go around. What was the best part of your day? What was the worst part of your day? Just get some talking. Happies and crappies, you can call it high lows if you don't like the language, sorry. Highs and lows, goods and bads, figure it out. Name it what you want, but just get them talking. And it'll open them up a little bit for you to do a little bit of teaching. And they may fight you. Are you picturing your teenager? They might fight you. But if you're modeling this, those modeling moments we talked about a couple weeks ago if you were here, if you're putting this on display, it's going to be compelling for them to listen when you actually begin to teach these things to your kids. You don't need to be a theologian. You can even say things like, listen, imagine this. Imagine you looking at your kid after they've just asked you an incredibly difficult question, and you're supposed to know the answer. We're like, well, Mom, why did God let, and in that moment of you going, call Ryan. You know, like you're worried about what to say. What if you just said to them, that's a great question, and I don't know. Let's find out together. That's a great question. I don't know. Let's try to find out together. Let's see if we can figure this out. Let's do a little digging. And then the kid looks at you and goes, my mom's not perfect. My dad's not perfect. They're figuring this out too. This is incredible. But you are in this moment. You're wearing that teaching hat. Ideal? Daily. What's real? What, weekly? Something. Monthly. Start somewhere. Hey, dads, lead this thing. You do this. If there's not a mom, girl, you get it. Let's do this. 5%, 12%. Let that not be on our watch. Start with something, and we're here to help you. We're here to help you. No shame in this, but this is worth striving for, right? Is it a daily thing? That's going to be tough for a lot of us. Is it a weekly thing? Sunday nights? Can we say this is family time? I know this is going to be weird and awkward, never done it before, but we're going to start doing it, and it's going to become a habit, all right? Are we okay? Can we keep going? Okay, let's keep going. All right, what's the next one? He says, when you walk along the road, when you walk along the road. All right, so you could be going on a family walk, but very few of us are walking along the road anymore, and so let's call this drive time. How many of y'all spend some time in the car with your kids? If you have a TV in your car, you've probably got the movie going on, and so you're going to have to figure out a creative way. We put VeggieTales in. Feels like a win-win there. That's a little spiritual emphasis, but this drive time. I think Moses is just saying there's going to be times when you're going somewhere. You're not going to be a teacher in that moment. You're not going to bust out a sermon in that moment. You're going to have informal conversations. You're just going to be attentive to what they're saying. You just picked them up from school. What are you going to do? You're going to ask them about their day. What happened? What did you see? Did you see anybody get picked on? Did you make any decisions? Did you get in trouble? You're just in that moment. You're just a friend. You're not a teacher in that moment. You're just a friend. It's okay to be friends with your kids. You should be their best friend. You're not the teacher in this moment necessarily. You're just walking through their day. This is the best advice I can give. In these moments when you have a chance to listen, I'm a talker. I get paid to talk. I do. Wow, that's weird. I get paid to talk. But I need to do a lot more listening and asking some questions. And then just help your kids process through what they just saw, what they just experienced, where they're going, the drama that's about to be wherever they are, the situation. And you're just processing with them and you're saying things like, hey, what do you think about that? Well, what do you think about the decision that she made? Well, help me, like, why? How did you make that decision? I'm just curious. This is so basic, right? Such a reminder. What's the difference though? Tone. If your tone is, why'd you make that decision? What are you thinking? How's drive time going? South, quick, right? It's just a moment for you just to go, I want to have a conversation, a dialogue, not a monologue. You already had the monologue that morning, all right? You don't need to teach in that moment necessarily. You're just redeeming the drive, and you're letting them drive the agenda. Whatever they need to talk about, you're just available. Is it going to happen every drive? No. Are you going to be attentive to the moments that you have? Absolutely. Can God add those moments up for something incredible? Of course he can. And so we're just needing to be attentive. So the first one was very specific, like set a time, circle up. This one's just like, hey, be attentive to the opportunities that he puts in front of you, because he's going to. You're going to bump into these moments every single day. Do you need to rush in? No, just be attentive. And then there's this next one. He says, when you lie down, what's he talking about? Bedtime. How many of us love bedtime? I used to hate it. Truth be told, I hated bedtime. I loved that they were going to go to bed, but I didn't enjoy the trying to get them to sleep piece. So we used to actually drive them around. We just drive them around in Gilbert until they finally fell asleep, until Griffin got too old and he's like, Dad, where are we going? Where are we going? We've been in the car forever. I'm like, well, we're getting gas. Dad, we passed like 6 stations. I'm like, just go to sleep. Here's some candy, melatonin. Just go to bed. You're terrible too, shush. But you know what? I stopped clocking out because I realized I was missing out. Because at the end of the day, what happens? When you lie down, Moses is saying, when you lie down, redeem the moment. You're teaching them in these moments when they lie down. What happens when the kids are lying down? What happens in their room? Something incredible. Number one, you're on their turf. You're in their room. This is their safe place. This is their quiet place, usually quiet place. It is at bedtime, right? And you have this moment where you can create a routine where at the end of the day, you'll start to see this. If you work on this, they will be open. They'll be ready to hear something. It's the end of the day. Don't drop a sermon. Don't give them a sermon. And you're not even a friend in that moment necessarily. What are you? You put on that pastor hat. You put on the counselor hat. And you're just sitting with your kids. And there's something incredible that happens when there's no distractions and you can have these intimate conversations where the kids are available. And you just, at the end of the day, what do? You encourage them. You're just connecting and encouraging. And this is the time of the day when you can pray for your kids. As terrifying as that might be for some of you, make this a priority. Let them know. We got this routine. We read the book with no pictures. That's what it's called. The book with no pictures every single night. Get that book. It's a good one if you got young kids. And then we circle up. I put the kids to sleep because mom's done enough. God bless her. And then we just pray together. And I say the same phrase every single day. Before they go to bed, they got their little milk and whatever. I say the same thing. Mommy loves you. And daddy loves you. And Jesus loves you. Don't you ever forget it. Mommy loves you. Daddy loves you and Jesus loves you. How easy is that? That's the last thing in their minds before they drift off to sleep. And I'm just in that moment. I'm not wrestling. I'm not teaching. I'm not coaching. I'm just loving. And I'm taking advantage of this moment that Moses put up. He goes, look, when you lie down, take advantage. And then he says, when you get up. When my kids get up at 4:45, I don't get up. I put on a movie. I'm just being real with y'all this morning. When you get up, this morning they woke up at 4:45. Look in my eyes, man. It's early, so they got to watch a show this morning. Then I woke up, and when you get up, I think what he's saying is, I don't know if you're all morning people, but there's a moment here. Like some of y'all, I know a guy named Scott. He has a kid named Taylor. Taylor's in his 20s now. And Scott, every single day of Taylor's young life, and still to this day, woke up at 5, read the Bible and prayed for 2 hours from 5 to 7 a.m., just sat at the kitchen table right out in the open and read the Bible. This, of course, a big old Bible, was journaling and writing and just humming the whole time. And then at 7 o'clock, it culminated with a Bible study with the whole family. And when I heard that, I was like, I suck as a parent. Terrible. Terrible. Maybe that's working for you. You are my hero. We're just fighting to get out the door in the morning. We're just putting clothes on kids. That's what we're trying, right? You're just trying to survive. You got to the 9 a.m. service. That means you don't have kids or you're doing things right, all right? You're doing well. I look at this and I just see this as a moment for you to put on your hat and you're a coach. In the morning, you're a coach. You got a day in front of you, you're the coach. And in that moment, you're looking at them, you're getting on their level. I get eye to eye with my boys and I just tell them who they are. I tell them who we are. I tell them who God is. And I say, today, you're gonna represent this. This is what we're about. I'm not scaring them. I'm just saying, who are you? Who loves you? What's true? Those sorts of things. And just reminding them as I walk Griffin into Cooley Elementary all the way there, I'm just reminding him. He's got his backpack on, telling him who he is, telling him how his classmates see him, telling him how his teachers feel about him, telling him about the opportunities, telling him about recess, talking about that kid that got bullied. How are you going to step in? Just coaching. I'm just coaching, I'm filling his tank. Got my boy Gavin out there, boy rides the short bus, God love him. He rides out there, pulls up, and all the time the little bus is coming. I'm just telling my boy who he is, what the day's gonna be like, how much I love him, I'm just filling his tank, I'm taking advantage of the moment. And I don't let it go. I'm not sitting there on my phone. I'm trying not to be disconnected when there's a moment where I can encourage my boy. Do I always do it right? Heck no, no. But when I mess up, I got a lot more chances. And when I blow it, when I try something that doesn't work, I got a lot more chances, it looks like. P.S., when the church messes up, someone gets fired. You know, we only got 40 of these, so we try our best, all right? So no pressure. I see my high school pastor's wife over there. He's doing a great job, but I'm just saying, we don't have many chances. You? Seems like you got a lot. And it seems like if you took advantage of that, those would add up. These itty-bitty little installments, they add up. They add up. And I think Moses is just saying, You're hoping for the big bang thing. You're hoping for the wow thing. You're hoping for the incredible thing. He's like, how about we focus on the itty bitty small slices of life and we redeem those drives and we're intentional and creative with those moments when you, the parents, disciple your kids and they want you to. We want to help. And listen, I'm a little disclaimer. It's just not happening at home for some of our kids over there. And so some of our small group leaders are stepping in where mom and dad, for whatever reason, have stepped out. Maybe they're not even in the picture. So this is a plug. There are some kids that don't have this happening. There's some kids that don't even have the chance at this. And so if you want to step in and start to disciple the next generation with us, there are thousands of kids that need someone to step in and fill these gaps for them. That's why our small group leaders, all of our mission, all those people are heroes. But they got parents, some of you got incredible families, and they're just stepping in saying the same thing you are. They're just stepping in saying the same thing mom and dad is. All of a sudden, your kid's coming home going, you should hear what my small group leader said. She said that Jesus, and you're like, I've been saying that for years, right? And we're just echoing it. Sometimes they need to hear it from another adult, sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes seven. They just need to hear it. And so we're all just stepping in going, I think we have a strategy. The tension is if we don't do anything, we'll have a bunch of grown-ups that are spiritual babies. Like if we do nothing, if you decide to do nothing, we'll have a whole bunch of people in 10, 20 years on the patio here at Mission that are all grown up, even carrying their own kids, but spiritually they're babies because they've never been discipled. They've never been sharpened. They've never been strengthened. Let's never, ever, ever, none of us want that. None of us want that. None of us want that. We're in your corner. We're here to support you. But this is going to take some intentional, creative, specific effort. And if you're doing this well, you gotta share what you're doing. You gotta coach the next generation of parents because some of us are clueless. And we're seeing you going, how are you doing it? It's not working. Here's what you gotta do. Find what works. For your family in this season, in this day, with their temperament, with their availability, you find what works and you abandon what does not. And if it doesn't work, you've got more chances. That's right? So you find what works. There's the ideal, strive for the ideal. There's gonna be a real. We're not gonna judge each other on that. No way, we're gonna encourage each other, sharpen each other in this. We have to do this. Because these moments matter, they add up. Listen, I wanna challenge you. Get out of here and have a conversation about this and talk to each other about how you're gonna show up in these moments. I just wanna challenge you to show up and be available in these moments. Because when you show up, it gives God a chance to show up. I know that's bad theology. I understand omnipresence, I'm in the loop, but he does show up in an unbelievable way when we just make ourselves available intentionally, consistently, and creatively, because our kids are worth it. Is it always gonna be Instagram worthy? Probably not. But do your kids need it? Desperately. And you can do it. Listen, this isn't some, you can do it. No, God will never ask us to do something he hasn't equipped us to do. So let's wrap our arms around these kids and let's take advantage of these teaching moments because we got a lot of them. And I think we need all of them for the sake of the kids, for the sake of the church. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray that we would create moments and we would take advantage of moments that you put in front of us to teach these beautiful truths, not just the commandments, God. We have so much more now to teach them about the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus and the story we find ourselves in, to process through these crazy days that our kids are experiencing, to understand you more. I pray for parents that they would be spiritual leaders, that they would recognize that they are spiritual leaders and that they would take advantage of that and grow into that. I thank you for the ones that are and for the unbelievable life change that takes place in the homes every week. I pray that you would encourage the ones that are feeling a heavy weight right now and say, yeah, if you feel like you can't do it, that's okay. I can in and through you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.